Bro.
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 Bro. Daniel Bryan is the 9/11 of WrestleMania 34. It's a joke, right? But out of context, that shit sounds terrible.
Heel Nakamura is best for business. The Nutcracker Prince, or whatever you want to call him. I'm all about it.
That's a t-shirt. Well, he was right about this. Well, of course he was, man. He also predicted three other things to happen with that same prediction. Like...
Bro.
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 Say hello to the bald guy.
And bow down to your king.
This is Drive-By. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for stopping by and checking out what we do. I, of course, am Mike Shooter Marcus. With me, my co-host, as always, King of Nerds Mike Forrest.
Peasant.
What's up, Mike?
The king abides.
The king does abide. And, King, again, for not a second week in a row, we had a week off, but we have a third voice on the microphones here, don't we, King?
Yes, we do. He's back. The ghost with the most.
He came back from his Bigfoot retreat. He did verify the Sex Panther smell.
I'll be honest with you. Bigfoot did not look at all like I expected Bigfoot to look.
I told you. It's not like you think it is. No wonder people have been missing out.
Turns out, this whole time, Bigfoot's like a cute chick.
Yep.
No kidding.
Whole time.
Just no been hiding in plain sight kidding. And shit.
Well, of course we are talking about our resident high-fiving motherfucker himself, and that is AJ Spurgeon. What's up, AJ?
What's up, guys? Good to be back, like always.
Yes, yes it is. Well, we have a lot of stuff to get into. A different, slightly different format. We usually give you a few topics and the beginning of the show, middle of the show, we kind of hit the meat, and then we go into our favorite segment, Who Says Something Dumb. That's going to be extended this week, thanks to our good... that's the same guy we talked about last time all three of us were on the line, and that is one Enzo Amore, but we'll save that for the end. Let's just run... How you doing? Let's run into some of the things that I kind of had on the list here, guys. First of all, this is a big one for me, because I just get tired of talking about it, yet at the same time, we are the voice of reason. We need to talk about this. The rumor killer, I just want to call this a rumor killer. This is our rumor killer. I don't care. We're not a dirt sheet. This is our rumor killer. Listen, everybody, calm down. Daniel Bryan is not leaving WWE after his contract, quote-unquote, expires in August. He's going to re-sign. But the reason I say this is multiple sites are speculating and putting concern out there that Daniel Bryan is leaving after his contract is up. You know, they're going on and saying, well, he lost to Rusev to make it to the Money in the Bank, and then, you know, he lost to Samoa Joe and didn't qualify for Money in the Bank, and they've got him in a program with Big Cass, and his career's just shit now. Can we just pump the brakes a little bit?
Yeah.
If I may lead the way on this.
Have at it. I prefer sloppy seconds, actually.
Well, here's my thing, man. Like, Rusev, they kind of, like, when they threw him in that, like, the whole situation with the Greatest Royal Rumble, where everybody thought, because he's fighting Undertaker, that he's going to lose. So they took him, you know, something happened with some tweets, so they took him out, put him back in, he loses the Taker. This is a good win for Rusev, because this is a momentum builder, and they need a guy like Daniel Bryan to help put him over. Daniel Bryan's a big name, and to lose to Samoa Joe is not to put Daniel Bryan down, it's to put them back in there with Big Cass. This is just a really as much as for Rusev as it is for Big Cass and Daniel Bryan. So, like, to me, I was totally cool with it. No big deal.
Absolutely. And I want to touch on something that no one...
Oh, it's cool. I didn't have anything to say. It's fine.
I just want to...
It's okay.
Damn it, Mike.
Thirds,
I want to get...
Getting thirds, bro.
I want to... You're getting third. This is a little off topic, but you brought it up. That's why I'm gonna bring it into this conversation because no one talks about it. And I actually want to give a shout out to one of our awesome MVPs, Mr. Vest, because he's one of the people that pointed it out. But if you go back to this Greatest Royal Rumble and the Rusev Undertaker match, we all knew there nobody was beating the Undertaker in a foreign country in a match designed for him because he's the special attraction they requested. That being said, Rusev got a lot of offense in, had a long, for an Undertaker in this time period, Undertaker match, a long match. It wasn't the 2-minute squash that we just saw John Cena get at WrestleMania a few weeks before that. That, to me, shows that Undertaker respects Rusev and the company has bigger plans for Rusev than just putting him on a sideline because he got over on his own and fuck him, which is ludicrous, but that's what everyone says. I just want to throw that out there. Now, Daniel Bryan, Mike, King, go ahead. Proceed.
I think we all know my thoughts on this whole Daniel Bryan thing.
Chill out. I want to hear them.
Well, let me talk. look, you can't have Daniel Bryan in things. You can't.
Right.
Daniel Bryan has to win things if he's in them. Daniel Bryan has to win the Money in the Bank if he's in it. The only reason it was acceptable for him to not win the Greatest Royal Rumble is because he had the greatest showing ever in a Royal Rumble, and whatever, he got a trophy. What did he do?
Right.
Daniel Bryan can't be in things. Also, Daniel Bryan's so super over, he could win. He could lose every match this year and be A-OK.
It doesn't matter. His wins and losses, truly, they don't matter.
If there was ever a wrestler whose wins and losses did not matter, it is Daniel Bryan right now at this moment in time.
Yep, 100%. And, you know, you can kind of encapsulate this in the fact that a Money in the Bank match, and this is something else that's being floated out of there, and I kind of agree with it, like, we're probably not going to see Daniel Bryan in ladder matches, in steel cage match, Hell in a Cell, stuff where the chance of injury, especially to the head and neck, is way, way, way higher. So why put him in there? And as we've said a million times, just like you stated, Mike, if he ain't going to win, then the crowd's going to turn on it. So why put him in there?
Yeah, that's all I'm saying. You just can't put him in there. Also, would you really be able to enjoy a Money in the Bank match with him in it? I wouldn't. I'd be watching the whole time like, oh, God.
You'd be like his worried parent the whole time.
Yes. Anytime he took a bump, you'd just be like, oh. It would be like hindsight Chris Benoit matches.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Like, when we would watch those on Friday nights together, and then, like, they'd have Benoit and those guys on, they're like, oh, man, this is contributing
every
to
time,
a bum shot.
Yeah, and we'd be excited about it at first. Oh, man, it's Benoit taking on William Regal. It sounds great until, like, Benoit throws himself headfirst at the ground 9 times.
Ugh. Even talking about it gives me goosebumps.
I don't want to watch Daniel Bryan do that because Benoit you didn't know at the time. Daniel Bryan, now you're going to know the whole time watching it. You're not even going to have a good memory of watching this match.
Right, no, I'm totally on board with that.
You have great memories of Chris Benoit matches. You watch a Daniel Bryan in a ladder match now, there's not even a good memory of it.
No.
No.
The only way,
no, you're right.
The only way you could have a good memory of that is if, like, Daniel Bryan saved a busload of kids and you know he didn't die due to head trauma at an early age. So then you're like, looking back on the match, like, actually, that's a fun match to watch now. I can watch this. But otherwise,
that'd be a hell of,
the whole time,
that'd be a hell of,
like, bullshit, it's CTE and he's, like, contributed to his death. Like, I can't fucking enjoy it.
That'd be a hell of a gimmick for a match.
I wasn't talking about for a match. but yeah, it would be.
So, I guess we'll just wrap it up with this. And I'll pose this question to you. And I got my reasons and arguments for this. And if you agree with them, great. If not, you have other options or opinions. Throw them out there, guys. But why would he go anywhere else?
There's no reason to kill himself.
Right.
That's it. That's the only reason you go somewhere else is to throw yourself head first at the ring 9 times.
Because WWE is definitely hands down the safest organization right now.
He's making bank there, man.
Yep.
Bank. His wife doesn't even have to get in a WWE ring anymore. She is a full blown like reality TV celebrity.
Right.
They're just like two notches below the Kardashians. They are the Kardashians of wrestling. Whoa, snap. They are the Kardashians of wrestling.
Wow. They kind of are.
And that even the look, way dude, better. The hair, everything, like they really are.
They're the Kardashians of wrestling, straight up. Like, why are you even famous? Why are you the two most famous women in WWE right now?
Is it weird that you made that comparison and now I automatically hate everyone that's related to that family? Thank you.
Bree's a likable person.
Nope, I now have to hate Daniel Bryan. Thanks a lot, Mike.
Bree's a likable person. She seems like a very, very genuine person on that show. The other one, however, seems
the other one just
quite horrible.
Yep, big boobs and small brain. That's Nikki.
Yep, but hey, you know.
I like both of them, man. Be honest with you. They both seem like decent people. Nikki just seems a bit vapid for my taste.
Yeah.
I enjoy them both for different reasons.
Yeah, I'm just adding to the fire, that's all.
And that's fair. Okay, guys, let's keep rolling. You guys got your chapstick ready? Are we wanting to kiss some ass, or, as I sometimes say, S some D? How you want to go about this?
I always S as D. Let's just... I want to take it.
All right.
I want to suck it and lick his balls at the same time.
It is time for Seth freaking Rollins to pull that bad boy out and let us suck on it, because...
Oh, my God.
How good is Seth Rollins, guys?
He's good, but I still wouldn't suck his dick. You know what?
You're a liar.
We're verbally sucking his dick. We're not actually sucking his dick.
No, not legit. That's weird. We wouldn't do that.
Okay,
I mean, unless he offered, maybe. I don't know.
I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. Hold on. I wouldn't do it, but I'd be flattered he asked.
That is fair. That is totally fair.
I'd shake his hand after, like, can we still be friends and shit, and I won't tell anybody.
I'd be like,
that you asked.
I'd be like, I'm not going to blow you, dude, but I'm super flattered that you asked me.
Like, seriously, I have thin bird lips, man. Thank you. Appreciate that.
No, but this...
Yeah, I was going to say, Mike,
this
go ahead
goes back. Oh, I will. This goes back
Maybe he meant me, dickhead.
I did.
He
did. Anyway.
This goes back to episode 56, Mike, where we talked a large portion of the show about why Seth Rollins should be the face of this company. Seth Rollins should be Mr. WWE. He's Monday Night Rollins. He is literally week after week having the best television matches that the company is putting on. And when you roll that into, and I'm going to give you credit for this one, Mike, you posted it on our page on the Nearfall Network, facebook.com/Nearfall Network. Check it out. That Seth Rollins got good matches, not just out of Mojo, but also out of Jinder Mahal, quite possibly the worst in-ring worker that WWE has on the roster.
That's not
He made him look good. He made him look good, guys. Like, he's better than Kenny Omega. Sorry, New Japan marks. He's better than Kenny Omega.
Oh, yeah. Kenny Omega's going out having 5-star matches with fucking Okada and Chris Jericho. Seth Rollins is going out here and having 3-star matches with Jinder and Mojo. That's more impressive.
Way more impressive.
Oh, you had a good match. I could throw down a 4-star match with Okada and Chris Jericho right now, and I am nothing. I am a former backyard wrestling champion, but that's like as far as it goes, man.
Right. Right. And you know, people say, oh, that guy's so good. And Kenny Omega's an example. I believe he did at one point in time wrestle a blow-up doll. Correct me if I'm wrong, King.
Look, I'm not going to take away from this dude. He's outstanding, right? He really
is. No, but what I want to say is Seth Rollins wrestles Jinder Mahal. That's like wrestling a 250-pound blow-up doll.
but for real, like, to go...
come on.
To jump even further into that, I remember, like, I've been a Seth Rollins fan since he attacked the Shield and changed that shit up, just because I just like heels, and I like the way they did, because Hunter's always been my guy, and to put him under his wing, I was interested to see what they did with him. My friend BP comes over, watches wrestling with me every week, and he hated Seth Rollins at that point, which he liked him the week before. He's like, he's a puss. He's always got guys helping him. He's always cheating. I was like, yes. And a week before, you loved him. This is what this guy can do. And this was early when he was still kind of like getting the momentum. Like, he wasn't even that great of a heel yet. But he just, in 1 week, and aligning him with Triple H allowed them to build this and show the cowardice that he could do, show how you could turn the crowd on him. And build up to eventually that Seth was doing so well at being a heel, but he still performed so well in the matches that during the live, Raw and everything, they booed the shit out of him because he just opened his mouth and he'd say the stuff that they hated to hear, but he knew that it worked. And then they go out for a pay-per-view and the whole crowd erupted when his music hit. This guy is so good. And now that he's past the knee injury, now that he's really get the torch passed to him, even inadvertently, like, I don't even think it was like supposed to be like that. I'm pretty sure it was supposed to be a Braun Strowman torch passing because what happened with him was kind of organic as well. But he kind of exceeded that because he can do the in-ring things. He's not just the bruiser. He's not just, pandering to the crowd. Like, he literally can take your breath away with Mojo and fucking Jinder Mahal. Like, so to me, Seth has been kind of like the cornerstone of the company, even though he really, at one point, like, it wasn't for a while. But he's the guy. Like, you can have 5-star matches with great guys, but like Mike said, if you can have 3-star matches with terrible guys, imagine what he can do with, AJ Styles in there with him. Like, that's something I would,
right,
can't wait to see. But, like, for now, yeah, definitely Seth Rollins.
This brought, to me, this brought the comparison of, and I know what I said earlier, and I don't mean any disrespect to Kenny Omega. He's an amazing hand, but Mike's point is he's going against the best of the best and putting on 5-star matches. If Omega's as good as people say he is, then they should put on 5-star matches. I think that's what you're getting at, right, Mike?
That's exactly what I'm getting at.
So,
who's the top talent that Rollins has worked with in the last 6 months? The best in-ring talent, Finn Balor? The Miz?
Finn Balor has
the Miz?
To be.
The Miz. Yeah. He's putting on, like, great matches with The Miz, who's someone who's not typically, like, The Miz is no Okada in the ring. Don't get me wrong. The Miz is very good, but he's not Okada or Chris Jericho.
No. And this brings me to how bad, if we're sitting here talking week in and week out now, basically, about how good Seth Rollins is, it makes me think, okay, we've seen him with Finn, and it's been fantastic, and I think Finn is a hell of a worker. I think we were all in agreement of that. Now I want Chris Jericho to come back, because I want to see a Seth Rollins-Chris Jericho drawn-out feud. Like, I want Seth Rollins to somehow get on SmackDown, or AJ to Raw, to see AJ Styles versus Seth Rollins. Like, Seth Rollins versus Daniel Bryan, come on, guys. Like,
right,
with this man at the front of the company, how can you not like this product? Like, even if you hate everything else, you have Seth freaking Rollins there, man. And there are so many guys we've yet to see him tangle with. And I think, I don't think this is something that we've just been sleeping on. I think he's just hit a stride, and I think he's just going to keep getting better and better and better. And it's almost unbelievable.
Yeah, I do too. I've jumped in. King, go ahead.
It's funny, when Mike texted me earlier in the week, he was like, not a big week for topics this week. And I was like, yeah, hopefully something pops up. I mean, it's not like we could just suck Seth Rollins' dick for another week. He was like,
and I was like,
can't we? And here
we
are, sucking Seth Rollins' dick for another week. I don't have much more to add, man. Seth Rollins has been the top star on Raw, in my personal opinion, for quite some time now. He's the highlight of the show every week. He needs to be in a better spot. He's arguably got the best spot on the show, but he needs to be in a better spot.
But you know what? I think this is, and this is maybe just like fool's gold. I'm just hoping to hope, but like, maybe this is, they're trying to bridge back the Intercontinental to the world title reign. So maybe he is the next one to jump up after the Intercontinental title, and they're just trying to put that back into place, because I've been reading a lot of stuff about when you're seeing the Triple H transition to the head of the company more, and you're going to start seeing a lot more traditional like things that they used to do. Like, the titles would be a stepping stone to the next, unless it was a failed title run and then you see him go back, and it's obvious. But like with the ones that they're looking to pass the torch to, in the sense of main event, you know, mid card to main event, which obviously Seth isn't, but it'd be nice to see like him jump up there and kind of take the reins. Because I would love to see Seth slay the Beast. Like, that would be amazing. Because like one on one, there's nobody that can go better than him. He's beat him in a Money in the Bank cash in, but like, let's see him go against him one on one. He hasn't yet. He's winning a three way with John Cena at Royal Rumble, which they both lost. It was an amazing fucking match, and that was right before WrestleMania. And then we've seen him against when it was Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, and he cashed in and made the triple threat. Came in, roof went off the place that didn't have a roof, and it was amazing. So like, I would love to see him slay Brock. That would be dope.
I'm so glad you brought this up, AJ, because I wanted to wrap this up with that statement. Like, do you guys think, I mean, are we in agreement? And I guess it's still kind of early to tell, but if you're looking through the summer bookings that are kind of showing up online for Extreme Rules, this, that, and the other, Roman's not near this Universal title. Now, I know nobody is, because according to rumor and innuendo, that title's not going to be seen until SummerSlam, which that's a topic for another day. But the rumored Extreme Rules match, which is in July in Pittsburgh, is Braun Strowman, Bobby Lashley, and Roman Reigns against KO, Sammy, and Jinder Mahal. I think that's a horrible idea for a pay-per-view event, but maybe that's just a, hey, we don't have anything, we're putting this on a card to get names out there. But to me, that still says this gender thing has a potential to continue, and that just pushes Roman out of the picture. And I know all three of us, we don't hate Roman, we're okay with Roman being champ, but are we paving the way for Seth? I mean, Seth might very well lose this IC title to Elias, so that Seth can then move on to the Universal.
Which would be... Well, I don't think it'll be that early he loses it, honestly, because if it's something that's going to be... I'm not saying I see Seth fighting Brock at SummerSlam, which would be amazing. At this point, it's still expecting Bobby Lashley, but I would absolutely be okay with Elias being the IC champion if that's what they did. The only thing is, Elias doesn't need a belt. Like, not yet, at least.
Yeah, I don't think Elias is ready for that. Also, I like what AJ said about, if you look at the champions right now on Raw, they're like what the champions would have been like when we were kids. They're pretty traditional champions right now, with the biggest,
pretty valid point.
The biggest draw, who rarely shows up, has the big belt, and the best worker on the roster has the IC title. So that's like, I mean, we complain a lot about what they do with these belts, but this is pretty spot on to like our childhood right here.
And when you say we, you mean the internet wrestling community, because we really don't complain about it, the three of us.
No.
We understand, and you're right, it is spot on, and that's another analogy that a lot of people aren't making. This is literally how it was in the 80s, guys. Like, calm down. But I do think that Seth might be getting in that line, man, and I don't know if it's SummerSlam. I don't know. Personally, what I'd like to see Finn finally get his damn rematch and slay the Beast, only to lose it to Seth, who, I don't know, maybe then it's a Roman Seth or a Braun Seth, something along those lines, but I think the potential is there, it's just how they book it.
Yeah, I agree with that. The potential's there, and plus, everyone wants to see a good Finn and Seth.
Absolutely. They've never had a bad match together.
If Brock doesn't lose to Seth and loses to Finn, I don't want to see Brock near the Universal title for a while.
Ever again.
I don't think he ever will be.
Ever again. I don't know. Ever again does he need to be near it.
Because he's yet...
He doesn't need it.
Even though...
He doesn't need it.
As much as people bitch and complain about him not being there, and I get it, even though I don't necessarily agree with it, it's crazy to imagine that he defended the title at WrestleMania in April and will not defend it again until August for SummerSlam. That's crazy. But all that being said, Brock brings some legitimacy to that title. No argument can be made against that. So I mean, him being champion, once he loses it, he's also the kind of guy who, he's an attraction, man. He doesn't need to be champion at anything. People are going to come just to see Brock Lesnar, regardless of if he's universal champ, world champ, tag champ, no champ, hardcore champ. It does not matter. He doesn't need a belt. He doesn't need anything but his five suplexes, his massive frickin' head and body and everything else that he has, and just his violence. That's all he needs.
I'd argue he's starting to need more than that, but who am I?
I'm saying for the average fan who's going to pay money to come see a show or to tune into the network, that's all he needs.
Touche.
Alright, guys, I think that pretty much covers all of that. We're going to take a quick break, and we have a extended version of our favorite segment, and it's all about our boy Enzo. Hang tight, we'll be right back.
Burn it down! 60% of the time, it works every time.
House is a fucking prison!
A planet
of bullshit!
In
the galaxy of this
sucked
camel dick!
Never go
overtime. Welcome back, everyone, and it is time for mine and yours and all of ours' favorite segment. Are you ready, Mike? Are we gonna do this right?
Yeah, let's try it.
Alright, here we go. It's time for Who said something dumb? I think we might have nailed that one.
Getting there.
I mean, you hear that awesome production sound effects. We got that echo on AJ's voice
the
and everything. We
best
just got
one yet.
Amazing technology going on here at the Nearphone Network. Anyway. Who says something dumb this week, guys? Man, do we have a we have a treat in store for you all. We did a show a couple weeks back, the three of us. Elitist here at the Nearphone Network, where we focused on Enzo Amore being cleared of the alleged rape charges. We discussed, and I do want to say, how did none of us come up with the name of Real One for his in-ring name when he moved on?
Yeah, I don't know. It's like been his Twitter handle forever.
It's
probably... Yeah, we totally dropped a ball on that.
Yeah, but I don't consider him very real, so...
Ooh, shots are fired.
Pew, pew.
Okay, well, unless you're living under a rock, and that may be the case, but anyway.
You probably can't listen to the podcast, so.
Also true. Enzo Amore, or AKA Real One, released a rap video this week. It's like a diss track, I guess. Basically attacking his accuser. In rap form, in hip-hop form, in what is a interesting song and video. And I think we just need to take some time and break this down, fellas. We'll do the video first. How's that sound?
I made it through about halfway through, and my mouth tastes like crap after listening to it. So it's true, it's true what Mike said. If you listen to the whole thing, poop will come out of your mouth, and it almost happened.
I didn't say poop will come out of your mouth. I said you'll poop your mouth.
Same thing. I just ad-libbed.
No, it's not.
Tell me the difference. Before we move on, I need to tell me the difference between you'll poop out of your mouth and you'll poop in your mouth.
I didn't say you'll poop. Well, right there, you just nailed it. In and out. It's two different things. They're like exactly, literally the opposite words of each other.
Okay.
But I also didn't say poop in your mouth. I said you'll poop your mouth.
I mean, tomato, tomato.
Which means your mouth will actually come out of your asshole, right?
No, man. It's like...
I need to know. What does this mean?
I'll talk to you about it offline, man. It's totally different.
Oh,
you don't
man,
poop out your mouth, you poop your mouth.
On the recording.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pooping
yeah,
your
just
mouth
here, Mike.
Is when something is so bad that poop mystically appears in your mouth and slides down your throat.
It's
you
weird you
mouth.
Say mystical when he kind of tried to sound like mystical.
Yeah, it's like it's so
wow.
bad that it creates a maelstrom of evil energy
that manifests itself as a piece of shit. And it's like you can't – the reason it's not poop out your mouth is because it manifests itself. You know that place that's like not quite your mouth but not quite your throat, but like once something's there, that means it's getting swallowed?
Yep.
That's where the turd manifests itself.
Oh, man.
Wow.
So you have to swallow it down, right? So that's the difference between pooping out your mouth and pooping your mouth.
You didn't listen to the whole thing, AJ.
No, I could not. I really couldn't. I honestly tried to because I was like, I want to see if poop appears in my mouth. I got to try it, and I couldn't.
I listened to it twice, and it happened both times.
Oh, boy. I listened to it way more than that, unfortunately. Okay. So let's focus on the video first, guys. And the video breaks down into just three kind of different scenes or parts, I guess. You have the intro and the opening where you have this really obese guy, obviously in his basement. He's getting ready to watch the 25th anniversary of Sports Entertainment, and his mom or someone's yelling about doing something, and long story short, he doesn't want to leave the house because he's watching wrestling. He's got Oreos and Cheetos and all kinds of junk food all over him. He just looks like a slob. I take this as... See, I don't know if I'm taking this as a shot at wrestling fans or a shot at smart dirt sheet writers slash dirt sheet smart fans, that kind of wrestling fan.
Look, this was a shot at wrestling fans. This dude didn't have a notepad in his hand. He didn't have a laptop on his fucking lap. He wasn't doing any internet things, any writing stuff. There was nothing to lead you to believe he was an internet mark or a dirt sheet writer. This was a straight shot.
Although he did say, let me do my job. He put a Bluetooth in his ear and was like, oh my god, what's that breaking news? That's why I took it as more of a shot at the, not even like the Meltzer types, but like the people who, like, we're fans who do a podcast. We don't break news. If we put news up, it's usually from a source such as WWE themselves will spread the word. But we're not getting phone calls from janitors at buildings. We're not trying to figure shit out. And I feel like that's what this was. Only because of some of the lyrics in the song, which we'll get to later.
Even if
but
we could do that.
Maybe I'm wrong. Yeah, well, you
even
know.
If we knew janitors at buildings, we still wouldn't call them.
You know. And, of course, something I notice is Enzo is wearing the shirt that he was reportedly wearing when he was fired, which was reported by a Dirt Sheets, which is another reason I think this is part of it. The shirt that says, best day of my life.
Right.
Oh, Enzo.
Such bad taste.
Such bad taste. So, the middle of the video is a funeral scene. The one chick, I don't know if you guys noticed, the chick with the red hair and glasses, looks a lot like resembles his accuser.
Philomena Sheehan.
At least in some of her photos that I've seen on, like, the dirt sheets and whatnot, the chick kind of looked like her, did she not? Did you notice that, Mike?
Yes, there was a resemblance to Philomena Sheehan. Let's not forget that this chick's name is Philomena Sheehan. Never forget.
Never forget.
Philomena Sheehan.
The accuser.
Repeatedly accuses people of rape.
She does. And another thing I noticed is he clotheslines somebody. Was that a female as well? Because that's a really bad look if so.
Yeah, it looks like he pretty much clotheslines a woman. But he clotheslines everyone there. It would be sexist to not clothesline her. You know
He's
what
right.
I'm saying?
No, King's right. If you didn't clothesline her, I would think that it would be a shot at women everywhere. Definitely needed a clothesline.
Okay, fair enough. In the final scene of the video, don't worry, guys. The lyrics are going to get dissected way more than this, I'm sure. But the final scene, he's dragging the coffin out of the funeral through the desert. All I thought about was the Big Boss Man, Big Show storyline from back in the day when Boss Man's dragging around a Big Show's quote-unquote dead daddy and yelling in a actual cemetery. your daddy's dead. Oh my God. So in turn,
there was an actual funeral going on that day in that cemetery. By the way, if you listen to Something to Wrestle with Bruce Pritchard, then you'll find out that there was in fact an actual funeral at that moment happening. I don't know if it was someone's dad though. Let's hope it was.
That's bad taste too. Jesus.
Sometimes things you just gotta go with what you're given, I guess, right?
That's fucking terrible, man.
It is terrible.
It really is.
You guys couldn't have just held off for like a half hour? Like, holy shit, man.
They needed daylight, Mike. They needed daylight.
You couldn't have done it like an hour sooner?
Yeah, I feel like you should have really looked into like how many funerals were going on. Like, what was... I mean, that's also like, shame on the funeral. Shame on the cemetery owners for also not, like, you know, thinking better and around this, and, like, pre-planning. This is a,
they got paid.
This really falls on them. Yeah, they got paid, but they look like real... Like, this is, you know, you get paid, that's fine. But, like, don't ruin... Like, someone's gonna forever... Like, there's someone right now talking about, like, their grandmother's funeral. And at a time that a man dressed as a SWAT officer drug a fucking coffin through the graveyard screaming, "I stole your daddy," while a giant chased him.
Well, maybe part of the deal was, we can't get around this scheduling conflict, so let us act a fool and we'll pay for your ceremonies here.
Like, could you imagine?
Yeah, I don't think that happened.
Like, just working with that person, be like, "Oh man, my dad passed away. It was the funeral. It was crazy, man. It was like really tense. I don't get along with my step family." You'd be like, "You want to hear about a crazy funeral? Let me tell you about a crazy funeral." And you'd be like, "All right, Jim. Everybody knows about the time the Big Boss Man stole fucking Big Show's dad during your grandma's funeral, you dickhead. Can you give me 5 minutes to talk about my dad, you fucking cocksmoker?"
Oh, fair enough.
Because you know, if he finds out you're a wrestling fan, you've heard the story 100 times. It is interesting the first 5. Every time after that, you were like, "Jim, I swear to fuck, if you're about to tell me about the time the Big Boss Man drug Big Show's daddy's coffin through the graveyard during your grandmother's funeral while the Big Show gave a very slow chase to it on foot." I'm going to fucking go tell the boss that I caught you jerking off into ladies' underwear under your desk. You might not get fired for it because there's no proof, but you don't want that shit going around the office and everybody knows you're a fucking liar, Jim, and I'm a trusted, well-known employee. I'm a solid dude in this company. They'll believe me and they won't fucking believe you. You panty jerker.
And it's a hit, and it's a long drive deep to left, and it's a foul ball. Wah, wah.
I went with it too far. I ran with it too far. You see what I like to do is, I like to just keep talking. I like to start off like a broad, like think of my comedy as like a pyramid, and we start at the base, right? And it's got like a wide base, like it's really like catching a lot of fish there. In this wide net, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of bricks I'm putting together. And as we go up, I slowly alienate more and more bricks. Until we get to the tip-top point and there's just no bricks left. Bricks being people that were with the story and were like, "This dude's pretty funny." And by the end, they're like, "All right. You lost me at panty jerker."
He stabbed him with a trident. I don't even know where he got that.
You should leave town.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that reference.
The only last thing I noticed was in the video, Enzo sprayed, I think, was it certified? Dead, and he spelled dead, D-E-D. I don't know if this is some kind of, like, certified G Cole thing, or if he just...
That's how kids spell it these days.
Okay. Well, I'm not a kid, apparently. So, no. There we go. So that's the video, man. Overall, what do you guys get just from the video portion of this song? I think, again, you can say we make fun of wrestling fans or wrestling dirt sheet smarks. I'm taking down my haters in my own funeral because I'm, as he says in the song, resurrecting. And now I'm burying this shit in the desert.
Which was funny because it happened in Arizona, right?
Yeah, it's
the name
Phoenix.
Of the song is Phoenix.
That's,
yep,
that
we're getting there.
In Phoenix.
We are
he's
getting
rising
there.
Like a phoenix. You see what he did? This dude's fucking clever, guys. He's a wordsmith. This is why he
we're
was popular.
There.
This is why he was
we
the cruiserweight champion.
There.
All
right,
he's a wordsmith.
Quick break, guys. We're gonna wrap the show up by dissecting these lyrics. I have a feeling this is gonna get interesting. Hang tight. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody, and it's time for the main event, if you will. You guys got the lyrics, right?
Yeah, yeah. So before we dive into this, I want to say, in my pyramid explanation, I said I lost the bricks at Panty Jerker. I didn't. I looked back on that during the break, and where I lost the bricks was when I said I'm a good worker, because you fucking peasants are probably piece of shit employees, and you knew you were the one getting called out in this scenario.
There it is.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. So let's see. Do one of you guys want to read and then dissect, and we'll switch off, or how you guys want to do this mess of a fucking rap song we have here?
I like to think that you're the guy that kind of leads it off with what we're
going
to
read them.
On.
I would like to read them, to be honest with you. Mike, usually, like, you lead the way on this.
Yeah, go for it, man.
I personally would like to read them if I could.
You are more than welcome to, and I will interject if I feel the need, my friend. And y'all do the same.
All right. Listen up. Sloppy, jaloppy son of a bitch, sitting on your fucking couch with your fucking phone in your hand, doing your armchair detective work. Think you know what the fuck is going on? When was the last time you kept a 2-month social media silence? You think I wasn't gonna say shit?
That's just him talking to the dude in the chair, right?
Yeah, that's him talking to the
we
dude in the chair.
Like, I'm at the verse break now. So that was just So he's obviously shooting on internet wrestling fans.
Right. That's kind of what I'm taking it as, I guess.
So, let's go ahead and enter into the first verse. I'm gonna let you all talk shit. If I had a fuck to give, I would give it. If you feel froggy, ain't gotta leap. All you gotta do is rib it. Getting on a zero fucks given exhibit. I got nothing to lose, minute for minute, then I'm in it to win it. Sky's the limit. Sorry, officer, gotta admit it. Yeah, I'm over the limit. Left court now with a one-way ticket.
Okay, time out. This is gonna be the old Mike, like old man Mike coming out. I really hate it when anybody in TV, movies, music, whatever, makes light of drunk driving.
Old man,
yeah.
And I know it's a really old man Mike thing to say, but and I get it. It rhymes. I guess it's clever. Okay, whatever. But you're just like, sorry, officer, I'm a little over the limit. It's not fucking funny, dude. Like, I know people that have been killed by drunk drivers, so it's not fucking funny. That's my 2 cents there. Go ahead.
Rolled up with it. Sparked that bitch. Hut 99 to let my lift. Piss excellence, bitch, I just shit it. I smell the hate on the crazy eights. Let's see y'all pivot ball in my court. Bounce back wearing number 24. Like a shit footprint right off my amateur. Can't listen because you look.
At you go back to that, he come back wearing number 24. If you guys remember, the reference there is Kobe Bryant getting accused of rape wearing number 8. Coming back.
Hold on.
Thank you. I was hoping somebody would clear
that
up.
Let's go to the lyric before that. I smell the hate on the crazy eights. Kobe was wearing 8.
Exactly.
Okay. See, no. I was confused on that, and I was like, I know this is a basketball reference, but I'm not a huge basketball fan. I was hoping you'd clear that up, AJ.
I really hate to say this, but that's like a fucking super solid NBA reference in a hip-hop song.
It's really good. See, there's points in this song that are not bad, and I'm gonna point them out. I don't want to just bury Enzo here, but I do want to bury him right this second. Let's rewind a little bit. Let's see where we have it here. Oh, okay. The part where he said, and you have to really listen to this, and like I said, I've listened to the song over and over and over, where he says, piss excellence, bitch, I just shit it. Okay.
Motherfucker shits excellence. That's impressive as fuck.
He also shoehorns fucking rap lyrics. What I mean by shoehorning is the fucking syllables don't fit, and he still tries to squeeze it in there to get that rhyme in. And if you listen, you can fucking hear it. And it's amazing to me, in the day and age that we live with recording software, that this dude didn't clean this shit up, but it sounds absolutely horrendous. You barely fit the words in there. Okay, that's all I had.
All right, where were we? All right, here we go.
Double-edged sword,
yeah, okay,
I think.
Yeah, I gotcha. Double-edged sword, one side love, one side hate. Other way I glisten, I ain't done. What's he gonna say? What's he gonna do? Got him on the toes like a midget at a urinal. That's fucking. That's something
else
right there. Got him on their toes like a midget at a urinal. That's fucking. That's. You know what? Okay, here's the thing.
I think it's funny.
I'm starting to realize that, like, lyrically, this shit is, like, pretty fucking good.
Right. But it's hard to listen to.
It was the presentation of it was just awful. The oral, and by oral, I mean A-U-R-A-L, not O-R-A-L. The oral sound wave presentation of it is fucking terrible, and you have to watch it come out of Enzo's mouth.
And there are parts lyrically where, and I'll point out my problems, but yes, overall, man, some of these lyrics are good. I have to be honest, when I heard this line, it like clicked in my head. It now makes sense why every bathroom has one urinal lower than the other.
It's for fucking children and midgets.
It's for midgets, dude.
It's for children and midgets.
But if they only have one, it's an adult one, and so he's got his on his toes like a midget on a urinal.
Nah, he just goes and uses the toilet. fuck all that. I'd piss on the floor. If I was a midget and I walked in a bathroom that didn't have a urinal for, like, myself and children, I'd piss all over the floor.
All over.
You'd be the most hateful midget ever.
Fuck this stupid place. And I'm
fuck
pissed
this.
Everywhere.
They're like, it's Chuck E. Cheese, chill. And he's like, I don't give a fuck.
I jerk off on the fucking toilet paper dispenser. I had a friend that did that
there
on the
dare
at a Chinese
pyramid.
Restaurant.
Mike Dunn went pyramid on us again.
Yep, there it was. Pyramid.
Oh, we're Egyptian up in this bitch.
Pyramid. There's where they ran out of bricks. Right there. Right there. Jerking off with a toilet paper dispenser at a Chinese restaurant. You know what, though? There's one or two bricks that were with me till the end of that, and they thought it was fucking brilliant.
Oh, God.
Well, that's good stuff.
Okay, so let's get back to this awesome diss track. Couple red roses on my gimmick. Couple tears at the funeral. They cried tears of joy at my funeral. They cried tears of joy at my funeral. Still I rise from the ashes like a phoenix. Middle finger to the sky, gripping my consensual penis. Lying ass hoe out in Phoenix. When I say this shit, I mean it. Fuck you, marks that hated. This for all my fans that waited. Entertainment's hottest free agent. Bitch, I'm reincarnated.
All right. Now, here's my thing with this verse. As he brings up later, it sounds like there may be a civil trial here where he's probably suing her for defamation of character, which is all well and good, and I agree that he should. That being said, if you have a court case going, is it smart to put a line in your diss track about a consensual penis? Because to me, that's saying we definitely had sex, but it was consensual. So you're already like, whether that's true or not, like, why even bring that up?
He's been, saying that from the beginning, though. He's been saying that from the beginning, though.
Yeah, I understand that, but now you're putting in a song.
I'd fucking say it. Like, I'd say it. It's one of my favorite parts of the song. I'd say it.
I mean, I like it. I'm just saying. I don't know if it's the best idea. I also feel like he's praising the people who, I mean, and we were three of them. We said, like, let's not jump. Although we could hear him saying some of the shit this girl said he said, let's not say this guy's a rapist before he's actually convicted. And
right.
The country as a whole has a problem with that, and he's pointing it out. And he does it more as we go on. Go ahead, Mike.
Okay, so he opens up verse 3 by saying Gucci Witch. That's where you can find Philomena Sheehan, at Gucci Witch on Twitter.
Yep.
Gucci Witch, you dirty bitch. Bad bitch is bliss, so is innocence. This apocalypse, guilty till you're proven innocent? Ass backwards bullshit is this. Ass backwards bullshit is this.
Which is smart, because he said it backwards, and he's making reference to how the situation is ass backwards. I like it.
I got a lot less to prove than you. Only thing I put in that pudding was proof. Yeah, the proof is in the pudding, bitch.
Okay, I have to stop right here.
Hold on, let's finish the train of thought here.
Fair enough.
Pudding ain't got no roofing. Nah, I ain't Bill Cosby. I ain't Bill Cosby. Bitch. Go ahead.
Okay. There's
four more fucking verses of this, and I'm so excited about it.
This is what I didn't like, okay? I don't have any problem with the Bill Cosby reference. It's topical, it's funny, I like it. I don't have a problem with the, where are we at? Oh, the only thing I put in the pudding was proof. I get it. Because the metaphor, or the saying, is the proof is in the pudding. But then he explains it in the next verse. So he says, the only thing I put in that pudding was proof. Yeah, the proof was in the pudding, bitch. Don't explain the metaphor you just threw out there. That kind of
takes away
fucking
from
destroys it. The fact that you... Yes, yeah. And Mike, you got to do story time last time the three of us were here. This is going to be a lot shorter and probably a lot less funny. But this is my story time, because this is all I thought about. Like, hey. Like... As you guys, you two know, I was in a band with one of our former Low Spot employees, the Mass Savage. He went by the name MC Deranged in this band. And he was writing lyrics to one of our songs.
Of course
it was a very, very rap-based song. He was trying to rhyme. He was using, I don't know if you've heard of the serial killer, the Iceman, Dick Kunkliski.
He's
like, I don't have anything that rhymes with Kuklinski, and I'm trying to use it. And it popped in my head, and I was like, Monica Lewinsky. So he came up with cold as ice like Dick Kuklinski. If I could speak, it would make more sense. Step to me, you're on your knees like your name was Miss Lewinsky. Pretty solid line, right?
Yeah.
Right. What would have took away from that is if he would have said, cold as ice like Dick Kuklinski, step to me be on your knees like your name was Miss Lewinsky, cause she was on her knees blowing Clinton and that's how you'll be. That would be stupid.
Fuck yeah. That. Good point.
So, like, reel it back a little bit, Enzo. We don't need a full explanation of what you just said, because it takes away from the way you said it. Anyway, proceed.
Good point.
Proof was only ingredient I used to make this shit. They can feel when you win. When you're genuine. You're bound to win. 6 years as a role model. Arguable. Time to sign a remodel. Going full throttle. I ain't thinking about tomorrow. I always got a buck to borrow. lawyer up and wake me down. See you at the civil trial. Bitch! Them wages getting garnished. Bitch, them wages getting garnished. For my image that you tarnished. I ain't asking for an ounce of sorrow. See, this is the best day of my life.
There it is again.
I can't wait for tomorrow. I can't wait for tomorrow. Rockstar lifestyle. Might not make it. Fame can be forsaken. Tweet an allegation. Falsify a statement. Fake news and defamation due to a media speculation based on misinformation. It's the basis of damnation for our whole fucking nation. Break a story, then you jump to conclusions. Break an ankle when you land and never cast a resolution. Nah, never. Nah, nah. Whatever. TMZ owes me some restitution. In the midst of dissolution, choosing public prosecution over constitution ain't the right solution. Gender prosecution hurts the Me Too movement and our women's revolution. The fuck you doing? All of you...
Go ahead if you got something.
No, this... Go ahead, because we'll come back, because you need to get the rest of this in here, too, so go ahead.
All of you that's ever been abused, you can scream Me Too.
That's no joke, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to get to... This is important. Keep going.
You scream Me Too. I stand by you. But for the wrongfully accused, justice long overdue. So here's a big fuck you. Fuck you. Yeah, from me to you, and to anyone that's doubted me, my auntie and my mama is still fucking proud of me. You got your 15 minutes, girl. I ain't mad at ya. Nothing but love for ya. I got me against the world, and still I rise from the ashes like a phoenix. Middle finger to the sky, gripping my consensual penis. Lying ass hoe out in Phoenix. When I say this shit, I mean it. Fuck you marks that hated. This is for all my fans that waited. Entertainment's hottest free agent. Bitch, I am reincarnated. End scene.
End scene. I want to, like, this whole last part, man, I got to give Enzo credit because it didn't even just pop, like, I've been thinking about this, and he's right on so much of this stuff because he's calling out the media, he's calling out the social media justice warriors that we all hear from, see from on a daily basis. He's also calling out, he's making reference to this Me Too movement, which is a very important thing going on in our society right now, but he's bringing the point up that if you lie about this kind of shit as a woman, you're hurting your own movement. And he's 100%
right. 100%
right. And he's also, this is what just popped in my head, he totally just made himself one of the biggest martyrs in the world with this song. If you really pay attention to it.
Mm-hmm. If you really dissect it, that is.
Right. If you pay, especially that last half of the song, man, if you listen to those lyrics,
because
it actually now makes it hard to hate on us at all.
Well, like, that's the thing is, like, before when it's just like his voice, his delivery, his presentation the whole time, like, dude, oh my, I was just so annoyed by it that I couldn't really indulge in it. But man, after going through and dissecting lyrics and stuff, it's kind of like, dude, some of the stuff was actually kind of clever, and then some of the shit was like, man, good point.
As the King of Nerds said, the white mystical.
That's, yeah, right. That's like I said earlier, man. It's just he tried to sound like the white mystical, and the presentation just detracted from what he's saying. What he's saying is, like, the first half's comical, you know? It's a middle finger right. to this girl. At Gucci Wish, right. Philomena Sheehan.
Right.
But I'm not saying go there and, like, attack her or anything. I just... go do your research. But the second half is, like, a really introspective look at, like, what it's like to essentially be, like, accused of everything, like, lose everything from an accusation, and how there's, like, people out there really suffering from things, and this is hurting everyone.
Right. On both sides. It hurts the guilty, it hurts the wrongfully accused. This is, like, my personal opinion, if it can, like, if his innocence can be 100% proven and her lies can be 100% proven, this girl should go to frickin' prison, because this is horrendous.
Horrendous.
And I mean, man, it's tough. Here's something I throw out there for you guys. I don't know if you saw, but Enzo basically tweeted that, because people were saying, well, you weren't fired for this, you were fired for not telling the company, that people are saying... or he is saying that he found out the same day the WWE found out about this, that he was not contacted by the police until that day. I don't know if I believe that. If that's the case, then, man, they just wanted a reason to get rid of him, right?
Yeah, he was just bad news, and they wanted him gone. If that's the truth, then they just wanted him gone.
But all that being said, at the end of the song, he says, entertainment's hottest free agent. Man, I almost think he's going to get hired back now.
I hope he gets a reality show on MTV.
Dude, I'd watch it. It'd be a train wreck.
Oh, it'd be amazing. It'd be better than the season of Jersey Shore where they're all like, look at us. We're adults with families. And how sad.
Except Ronnie.
How sad
Except
is it?
Except Ronnie.
That he's got a baby on the way. How sad
yeah,
is it?
Yeah, but he doesn't act like it.
Almost 40 and at this club with these 22-year-olds. And don't we all look like fake plastic ducks? It's fucking sad. I don't want to see these people like this. I want to see them raging face and starting fist fights with other douchers in the club on the shore, working at the t-shirt
right.
store hungover.
Right.
While Polly Stalker shows up. I don't like this. So, yeah, man. Enzo. Maybe he does make reality TV. I think he'd be perfect for reality TV. I really
he
do.
He would be. It's a very astute assessment there, King. I like it. I like it.
Fuck, I just became a fan of this dude over, like, the last... 15 minutes.
Can I be super
Shit.
Honest with you guys?
I did not see that coming.
I'm gonna be super honest today. With you guys. When first of all, when it was like, hey, Enzo released a rap song, my first thought was, oh dear God, I gotta hear this. When I heard it, my first thought was, oh my God, he might be worse at this than wrestling. And as I told you, I wanted to get the lyrics. I read the lyrics, I listened to the song probably 10 times, and I'm going to be 100% honest, dude, I dig it. I like the song. I got past his voice and the way he's presenting it, and I really enjoy it.
I feel like now that I know the lyrical content of it, I'll probably enjoy it.
And that might be why, too, but, I mean...
I'm certainly not putting it on a playlist, though.
No.
No, but it's one of those songs that you can hear and you're like, man, it's got a good beat. There's funny parts to it. It's all right.
Yeah, it really... He's equally bad at both, I think.
But the message at the end there, man, you can't deny it.
But again, his mastery of the English language carries him through.
It does. It does. He's a talker. And, man, if he's got, I don't know, he's got some backing to him, he might actually go somewhere with this.
He's
it's
gonna
a
go
crazy,
about as
crazy
far as
thing.
Hulk Hogan's daughter did.
Well, you know. You see where that got Hulk Hogan, right?
Hey, it got her as the TNA Knockouts champion, didn't it?
Yeah, and on an MTV reality show, so it comes full circle,
well,
right?
Well, that MTV reality show got her the other things.
Oh, she's on one right now is what I mean.
Oh, good for her.
She's on Challenge Champs Stars versus Pros or whatever it is, Champs versus Pros. Yeah.
I like you a little less that you know that.
I only know it because
My
I watched the reg time out. No, I watched the regular challenge and I quite enjoy it. I do not watch the Pros versus Champs, but I've seen the commercials because it was hyping for they were hyping it leading into the end of the regular challenge into the beginning of that one.
I didn't
asshole.
See she was on there. I just saw that Polly from Big Brother was on there.
Yep, nope, she was on there. She's about the only one I recognize.
He's on that show where like people go to a resort and their exes show up, and then
it's on the beach.
They fuck other people and their exes try to kill them.
I don't watch that shit.
I don't either. That's just what I got from the commercials, is that like they took a bunch of people that are semi-famous and brought their exes and were like, "You're all beautiful. Have sex with other people while people get mad about it."
Awesome. Well, guys, I think we've said all we can say about The Real Ones fire rap track.
Yeah.
You guys got anything else you want to add to this conversation?
Not this conversation.
No.
Think I'm all tapped out too, guys.
I've got some things I'd like to add, but not to this conversation.
Well, don't forget, guys, check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/NearFallNetwork. As always, like, subscribe this show on iTunes, share it, share the links, give us a review. It helps the show be more visible. We are on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podomatic, and the full library is on YouTube. So if you've missed an old episode, you want to go check it out. They're good. They're not nearly as good as when I got my permanent co-host, and it's always fun when the three of us are here, right, guys?
Yeah, I did make things better. I agree.
I can't even deny it. You did, man. You did. But
that's what I do.
As far as that goes, I got nothing else, so I say it every week, guys.
Hold on.
No, we gotta roll in so you don't spew this bullshit that's never gonna happen.
Let's
Mike.
Not forget our weekly plugs.
Let's forget that plug because it's not happening.
Coming soon.
No, it's not.
Shooting at the mothership.
It's not happening.
Comprehensive review. WCW Saturday Night. Home of the Mothership here on TBS.
I 6:05 don't hate myself that
time,
much.
Baby. And its sister show, Feeling the Burn, an in-depth dissection of WWF Sunday Night Heat featuring our very own Shooter.
That one is more likely to happen.
They're both very likely, because you've said 100 times now that you're going to do them, and you just
I've
don't.
Not once said that I was going
to
do that.
You've said it literally every time I brought it up. You've been like, yeah, I'm going to get to that.
It's not going to happen.
It's going to happen, people. It's going to happen eventually, okay. Trust me.
You keep your fingers crossed, as a wise man once said to me. Wish in one hand, shit in the other, and see which one gets filled first.
Mike's about to have like a bunch of kids, and he's gonna look for excuses to just like get away and have peace and quiet, and that's when they're gonna start happening.
Like, those excuses
like
aren't...
you think you're a hands-on dad until you have three, and then you're like, I'm a present father.
Those excuses ain't gonna fly in my household.
I can only assume that three you just mentally check out.
It's gonna be interesting to say the least.
So
guys,
you have tons of free time for this. It's coming soon, guys, trust me. I have never lied to any of you or led you astray in any way, shape, or form.
I don't know. AJ, it's been awesome having you with us yet again. Hopefully we can all do this again soon, man. It's a great conversation when there's a third voice added. I enjoy it.
Well, the great,
I know Mike enjoys
the
it.
The great thing is my daughter's last day of school is today, so this would be something that I probably could arrange more on a weekly basis, or at least more consistently.
Well, see? You heard it here first,
don't
guys.
Don't make promises you can't keep. Look at Mike over
AJ's
here
AJ's
like
on
an
here. AJ's on here every week through the summer, come hell or high water. That's what you heard.
Promise. Coming soon.
Promise. 100%. Guys, I say it every week. It's been real. It's been fun. We'll catch you next time.
You guys are beautiful. We love you. Have a good week.
Peace.
Guys, I think the worst part, man, I've been sitting here thinking about all these ways that Enzo Amore would answer that phone. Remember, AJ, when you brought up Enzo Amore's jobs and he might be able to be an abortion clinic receptionist? I think the worst part about the idea that he might have a career in rap is he might not get the chance to use all these awesome lines that just came into my head, and I decided, one, I'm funnier than I give myself credit, and two, I'm also a very sick, sick person. But you guys want to hear these?
Of course.
Of course, yes.
Okay. I need some awesome sound effects from some awesome sound effects. So someone ring a phone.
Ring, ring.
Enzo Amore Abortion Clinic. You make the mistakes, we pump the brakes. How you doing?
Oh my god, that's awesome.
Keep ringing, fellas.
Ring, ring.
Enzo Amore Abortion Clinic. When the willy was silly, we do the killy. How you doing?
Oh my god.
Ring, ring.
Enzo Amore Abortion Clinic. When you don't want your sloppy jalopy to be a poppy, how you doing?
Oh my ring, god, ring. That's so great. Oh my god.
Oh, that was solid.
Yeah, I try. Right. Keep them coming, guys.
Ring, ring.
Enzo Amore Abortion Clinic, so you don't have to push the oops. How you doing?
What the fuck? Dude, you are off the chain. You got ring, ring.
All right. Enzo Amore Abortion Clinic. When you can't go to term with that implant of sperm, how you doing?
Oh.
I got three more, guys, and I'm tapped out.
Go ahead. I got three more.
Enzo Amore Abortion Clinic, because child support is 18 years, and you can't teach that. How you doing?
Oh my god.
Ring, ring.
Enzo Amore Abortion Clinic, because you did the bang with a loaded wang. How you doing?
Ring, ring.
Enzo Amore Abortion Clinic, for when his bada bing went bada boom. How you doing?
Oh my god, I think I just came up with one. Hold on, let me put this together. Oh,
please.
Okay, give me a ring.
Ring, ring.
When you bang her, we got the coat hanger. How you doing?
Oh my god.
I've got one. I've got one. Give me a ring, ring.
Ring, ring.
Hello, Enzo Amore Abortion Clinic. For when you've had unprotected sex and wish to terminate the pregnancy that ensued.
Oh, winner, winner, chicken dinner. Oh, I love it.
She's like, can you imagine him, like, insanely serious, like, talking to you at the abortion clinic, just looking like how he does?
Okay, well, first we're going to take you in here and put you up in the stirrups. How you doing? And then what's going to happen is I don't perform the procedure. I'm just the face of the operation. The doc's going to come in. He's going to slip the tube up the tube, and he's going to suck the thing out. You know what I mean?
He's going to suck the thing out.
I'm very sorry that you have to make this choice. Now, we've got some pamphlets for you if you need to seek any kind of psychological therapy or any kind of medicinal help over this. I understand that you could truly be going through something serious right now. We are more than happy to talk to you. I am always your shoulder to cry on. I find that women that have had one abortion are likely to have another. You know what I'm saying? How you doing?
Oh, this is so not funny and horribly dark. I love it.
All the bricks gone.
Oh, dear.
All the bricks to the pyramid have disappeared.
Enzo Amore Abortion Clinic, you bring the distortion, we do the abortion. How you doing?
Oh, dear God. Off the rails. This might hit the cutting room floor, boys.
Hello, Enzo Abortion.
Hold on. I got one last one.
Enzo Amore Abortion Clinic. Huh? You got them stem cell hookups?
What the fuck, dude?
Oh,
Oh, I was like waiting it to finish, and I was like, oh my god, he is, that's fucking terrible.
At least I'm not the only sick and twisted one in this group.
We all three got it in on
this
that,
is
so
fucked all... up.
Woo! Woo! Yeah, but thank God nobody's ever going to hear this.
What was worse, Marcus, is this was premeditated. We just played off of your antics. You are the worst one.
I know. I'm a horrible, horrible person. This is what happens when all day long you're by yourself at work and you have time to think.
We love children. We love children.
What happens when you give me something funny to wrestle with and I can think of it on the fly, so I'm cool with it too.
Let's just state that we love children. You guys are parents. I've got a niece I love.
Yep.
We love children. AJ loves children in a weird way, but we all love children.
Shut the fuck up.
I don't advocate abortion at all, but I mean, sometimes you gotta make light of situations, right?
Oh my god.
Right.